From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, How Do You See the Face of God? Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
How delighted I am to write you. My tone is just fine. I held on to it, and I'm so grateful. I have never had nor imagined the kind of powerful experience I had when I received my tone. I don't know how I remained conscious or what moved my feet. Guess it was you. For I was truly hit like a ton of bricks and caught up and held for about 5 hours. It was a little over 5 hours. I was all there was and everything, and so beloved. I never wanted to leave that place, for I also had the awareness of where my body was and what was going on in the room. Was that multidimensional awareness? Yeah, on the levels the person was on, it certainly was multidimensional awareness. There are other levels, though. A couple times I felt the tone leaving, but because of the pictorial explanation you had given me, thank God, I was able to form its image again and call it back. After those 5 or so hours, I've not lost it again. For these weeks afterward, the top of my head remains very sensitive, as if I can feel where the tone came through, and I can barely stand to touch it. Strange. I often feel the pressure across the bridge of my nose that I mentioned to you, then it moves up between my eyes, but it hasn't seemed to rise or remain any higher than that. Is there something I'm not doing correctly? No, those type of things are just physical phenomena that take place periodically when a person is chanting tones. And you don't look for that next time around because you may be above that. So when something happens, you go like this. It means that's past, next. And you don't necessarily want it to repeat. If it repeats too much, you're not going anywhere. The first week of chanting my tone, I began to realize that I was often listening to the tone, not just saying it. And that shows progression, because when we say chant the tone, sometimes you'll find out as you stop to listen, somebody's doing it. And most of the time, it's the traveler. Then I started hearing it all night long during my sleep and in my dreams, and had the realization that the tone is going on all the time. At least it seems so to me. I also realize that the initiation process and the connection to the mystical traveler is more intimate than making love. Not true. Yet similar, yet not. That's true. It is more intimate than a thought. True. Yet dynamic, creative, and infinitely thrilling. How God must love us. Hey, that's the truth. How God must love us. By the third week, I was finding less and less time to chant my tone, but this awareness had not consciously hit me. Then I was led to buy one of the initiates' meeting tapes, and things started clarifying real fast for me. I see how subtle the basic works to inhibit the meditation process without one's conscious knowledge until the habit is formed. I also see that no matter how high one has been lifted by spirit, he is not exempt from falling. And boy, keep that in mind. In fact, I'm sure it is quite a coup for the Cal Power when a chosen one slips into his domain. Thank you for this information. I'm glad I've learned early to be ever vigilant. Let me just explain something there that's not on the letter. When one of the chosen ones slips, they're no longer a chosen one, because the chosen one can't slip. Do you understand that? When that happens, that one of the initiates, and that doesn't mean somebody who's been initiated, because you can be initiated and not be initiate. You understand that? I mean, initiation means you are doing those very things that make you that, not that you went through a procedure or a process. But whenever one does get caught up by the negative power at the time of dissolution, see, what is death? Death. And if they go to Yama and off the negative left side and down into that, the path of what we'd call negativity and reincarnation, the call power will kick them back out, because if the call power does not do that, then the traveler goes down into that realm to get the initiate. Not only that, gets everybody else at the same time. It happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus left the planet and went into the negative realms and bridged out. And Paul is not about to let that happen again. When that did happen, by the way, there was a resurrection that took place. Many people who had been dead and in the recent time were seen walking the streets. I mean, they had also been called forth out of the death. And at that point, the call power decided they wouldn't horse around. What they do attempt to do, though, is to get you to drop the initiation, then die, then it's fine. It's like, okay, goodbye. They're not initiate. But as long as they are that, they're not going to be bothered, not after they die. They'd be bothered here, however, quite often. Now at the end of the fourth week, I feel secure again and eager to guard against complacency. I so desire to incorporate discipline to my body, mind, and spiritual life. And the knowledge that this tone, my first, is capable of getting me into the soul realm is the most exciting yet comforting concept I've ever been exposed to. If I never receive another, JR, I'll make this one work to the end. And that's the type of people I want as initiates, right there. It is such a beautiful tone. Since the first time I listened to it, and even until now, I receive impressions of such majesty and kingliness attached to it. Often I find that I've been saying one of the syllables a little bit different than you gave to me. Then I remember your wise words to me that you had had the same experience, but you made it because you were close enough in saying the tone. And this really comforts me. You know, JR, information you gave to me before my initiation has really been needed at one time or another since then. And I am so grateful to have your words to draw on. It isn't the words, it's the power that'll come with the words. It's what we draw on. The words are just words. Lastly, I have to tell you how very funny you are and how much I enjoy your sense of humor all the time. I just stand, look in the mirror, and tell myself jokes all day long. About a week ago, I was thinking on how my dreams had changed since my initiation, very working and busy dreams without you in them, and how I missed dreaming of you every night. But I gave it all to you and to God and accepted what was necessary now and for my highest good and went to sleep. As usual, I had a very busy working out dream. And as I got on a bus to go somewhere, who was driving the bus? You. You made a guest appearance for me amidst my working out causal realm karma. I've been laughing ever since. Thank you for health, wealth, and happiness beyond my wildest dreams. The blessings are forever. That's quite true, especially with this person. And that person knows who they are. Well, we won't tell. They're here tonight. Jeez, I'd so want to tell. I so want to tell. But I won't. Well, I'm not going to. I can resist everything but temptation, and that's not a temptation. Some people are still wondering, you know, in terms of the movement, in terms of what we would call eternal progression, what is the value? You know, what are these tones? What are these initiations? And some people say, I've been in the movement 4 years. What's initiation? And I say, well, initiation will remove that karma from you that prevents you from knowing what's going on. And they're not too sure what that means, except if you've been around for 2 or 3 or 4 years and you're wondering what's initiation, I wonder what you've been reading. Or maybe you've been doing like some of the people, they sleep through the seminar and say, I got it on the other side. And it's like, get the initiation there too. And good luck to get it back through the Z's of sleep. And I'd like to explain a few things tonight because we have quite different people here. This life on the planet here, for the most part, has a heck of a lot of grief in it. And every once in a while, we'll come to some clear places inside of us that makes us feel like we can do anything. And so we take on the weight of the world, the weight of ourself. And then when the grief hits, because that doesn't maintain itself, it's not designed to maintain itself. People are starting to realize when I say something is not designed for that, they're watching the design carefully and they're saying, you're right, it's not designed for that, but I thought it was. But I didn't look. I just assumed, or I just thought, or I felt. But when you're saying this does this and this does this and this does that, my problem is I tried to make it do something else. I tried to take one tool, like a pencil, and take lug wrenches off a wheel with it. It's not designed for that. But that's a ridiculous point of view. But some things get very close, and we think, well, I'm lazy, I'll just do it this way. And it's like it won't work. And we like to think it will work. We like to kid ourselves it'll work so we can be lazy. Well, when we start entering into the spiritual realm of consciousness, then we're becoming that responsible creator where we are going to walk the high country. We must, in fact, start giving up this level. And people will take initiation not to give up this level, but to make this level permanent. And believe me, they can have it. And they're going to get it. And they're going to be around a long, long time. Not in terms of spiritual consciousness, in terms of nose to the grindstone, the shoulder to the plow. Then try to get some work done in that position. It's very difficult. It's grief. The energy that we deal with in the movement can do some very beautiful things to us. We can come into the seminars, taped, live, read discourses, preparing for initiation. And we can build a certain reservoir of energy just being with the people. We can get a high off of people's high. And if their high isn't too high, but it's higher than ours, we still haven't made it. And when we come for the group energy, and that's nice, there is a beautiful energy in the group. It takes a while often to balance it out. We use a lot of music, singing, fol-de-rol. That means whatever else will do it, to balance the energy, smooth it out so people can get it at their level of getting. And they may really make some very fast progress because they're working with initiation current, not just general information current. And a person says, when they tell me they want to go for initiation, the energy shifts. We start using a special type of energy that is reaching down and grabbing the person by their bootstraps and pulling them up. And they enter into one whole heck of a lot of revelation. And they become tremendously aware, but they're still nincompoops because they haven't been initiated to even the causal level. And they're still working out the ambition of the astral level, and they get caught up in the ambition, and they want to step back, and they can last about 9 or 10 months on that energy before it starts backfiring and they have to go get an enema. They become constipated in consciousness. At this point, they've got to come to this moment where the call power is either going to smack them on the head in terms of, hey, you don't have to go back and do that. We can do it together. And the call power is constipated too. At that point is where you get a chance to find out if you can walk high road or if you're going to stay down here in the muck and the mire. About that time, the person will usually come back around and say, I'm back. I want to go for initiation. I say, fine, 2 more years. And they think that's unfair. It's like, why? It's like you probably get 9 more months and fall out again. You're getting a track record of fallout. At this point, they feel God has forsaken them. They feel everybody has forsaken them. And they want to become very malicious, very mean in their approach to other people. They want to condemn, castigate, and all the time, they are cutting themselves off inside, even from their own source of negativity in terms of they can work with it. So they enter into what we call zombie approach. They're one of the walking dead, truly. They walk around, they say, I just feel dead inside. Nothing's worthwhile. Actually, that's a good place to be because you're not even building karma. So there's a chance you'll like work something off by walking. At this time is usually when something of a catastrophic nature will appear. Somebody steals the tires off their car or their car. They have to then look at all the unfairness of why it happened to them. They've got to realize that God has truly singled them out to pick on them. They've got to realize that they're one of the chosen ones. Not that they care to be chosen that way. And they have to reach a place inside of them that regardless of what goes on, they keep circulating blood. They keep breathing. They keep on keeping on. And it's not an easy place to be because every time you think about that, you die. Everything goes cold. Even the pit of the stomach goes cold. You think, oh, damn, you know, why me? And the answer is, why not you? It's like I can tell you a lot of reasons why not me. One's because I'm me. That's not a good reason. Everybody else says the same thing. And the second reason is I can't afford that. That's not a good reason either. Nobody else can afford it. And the third one is, it was brand new. That's not a good reason either. The person had good taste. They took a new one. And the fourth one is, it's just not fair. And that we're right back in the circle. Nobody said it was fair. It's very unfair. But that's why it's you. How do we handle that? You moan, you groan, and you walk. And you start saving your money. And you start realizing that they're going to get the car again if you don't change the things that you had going before. Like what? Like get a chain and padlock and chain it down. Like, well, do I have to do that? No, you don't have to do anything. Walk. It's like, but are they always going to steal my car? Yeah. Why? The very thing you fear will come upon you. The very thing you fear. This is why we say, let it go. Years ago, I had a car stolen. It was, I can't remember what it was. I remember it was a Mustang. First year they came out, was that be about 64? 64 or 5? It was probably like the fourth or fifth one on the West Coast. I remember that thing, I thought, what a horse. I remember when it turned over 500 miles, I kicked up to 80 and a cop pulled me over and said, those ponies really go, don't they? I said, yeah, but I think it's a little too fast for me. He says, well, I got a reminder for you. He's a nice guy. I only had a few days and went out one morning. I live in Hollywood to get my car. And the car was gone. I thought, geez, I wonder where I parked that last night. It just never hits you that somebody has stolen it. Finally, I called the cop and said, you know, I've misplaced my car. He said, yeah, you and everybody else in Hollywood get some misplaced periodically. They said, it's been stolen. I said, I can't believe anybody stole my car. I mean, I need it to go to work. The policeman was very nice to me. He says, I don't think the guy knew that when he took it. What's funny is he said, do you know anybody out here who stole your car? And I said, the girl across the hall's got a brother, and he was here last night, and I think he'd take it. He said, do you know his name? And I said, no. They said, do you know the girl's name? I said, well, yeah. I mean, you know, she lives across the hall. Of course I know her name. He said, what's her name? And I couldn't remember it. So we knocked on the door and just found out that her brother had been there, but he'd left around 1 or 2 in the morning. You know, I had parked it like almost like 1:30 in the morning. That guy must have gone out and when the car motor was still warm and just backed it out and took off. That was fast. I cussed him. So if I could get my hands on that guy, I would fix him. I think he knew that. He got an Oklahoma credit card and took off to Lake Tahoe. Oklahoma credit card. 5-gallon gas can and a rubber hose. You siphon gas from their car and put it in his car. They finally returned the car. They returned it. The guy, I had prayed for the car to be returned. That was my first mistake. He returned it, and the Oklahoma credit card leaked. He'd run the car without terms of oil in the motor. He'd done a lot of things. I went down to talk to him at the police station in Long Beach, and they wouldn't let me see him. I said, why is that? And they said, you threatened to kill him if you got your hands on him. I said, nah, I'd just like to let him know I'm present. The car cost more money to fix up than it was worth in the beginning in terms of grief, wear and tear, pain, heartache, sorrow, praying for it to get back. He had it for like 6 weeks. I could have gone out and bought another car 2 or 3 days later. We have to be very careful what we demand back at us as ours. We get it, but believe me, it is never going to be like it was in the beginning. Never. That car ran hot from that day on. Finally, I had to take a car dealer to court because I wouldn't pay the bill for them doing things that wouldn't stop a car from overheating, and had to take them and beat them at court, and then they went bankrupt. All because of a little Mustang that had to be delivered back to its rightful owner or else. We should let, believe me, everything go on this planet. Everything. We can use that is present, and it is here to be used. But we must always maintain mental dominion over our own beingness at all times in relationship to this. Now you might say, that's very easy for you to say if it only happened to you once. No, I didn't say it was once. That was like number one. But I knew they were going to get my next car, which is a Charger. It's the one I trade the Mustang in to get a Charger. I said, well, what I want to do is I want to put a burglar alarm in here because I got these beautiful pipe speakers in the rear and a Vibrasonic and a spiffy little number. One bought the bells and everything to put them on the alarm. And I'd moved over to San Gabriel area so I could be away from the high crime area. So we decided it was late that night. The next morning we'd get out and we'd put these bell alarms on. And that night, by God, they broke in my car, stole the speakers out of the rear and the bell alarm. And broke a window to get in there. And I looked at that, and it got funnier and funnier and funnier. And I said, well, I think I'll just leave the window broken and leave the doors unlocked and tell them, there's nothing in here, just enjoy yourself. You know, sit in, rest, who cares? Take the car, it's all right, it's not going to make any difference. I let it go, and the insurance company decided that they would just put everything back in. Now, you know, I thought, I'll get some more bell alarms. And we did, and we installed them, too. They opened the trunk, the bells would ring. They opened the hood, the bells would ring. They opened the door, there's two doors, the bells would ring. Then it dawned on me after all that expenditure, folks, that that's called cure. After they've broken in, the bells ring. Now, cost like $80, $90 to burglar-proof it. Then I realized that a guy got in there one night, heard the bells going off, and in the middle of the night, you have to run down. Be sure to take your car key that's got the alarm key for the bells, or you have to run back upstairs to get that, and then back down again to turn it off. And the neighbors are all saying, what's all that noise out there? And you say, nothing. He's just trying to burglarize my car, and the alarms went off, and I'm protecting the neighborhood. I got everybody awake. Burglar watch. A couple times this, and I said, there's got to be a better way. Is there such a thing as prevention? And I thought, well, what I'll get is an electronic beam we'll put out there, and I have a little tape recorder in there and a little speaker, and then when they break the beam, this tape recorder will come on and it'll say, get away, get away, get away. And I couldn't park the car down underneath where it's supposed to go because it was dark, and then they could burglarize it in the dark. So I had to put it down the street where they could see it, where it was an easy shot, but then I could catch them. You don't win in these things. There's no way to win. Well, just about that time, had to move to someplace else. So I moved to Baldwin Park, and then we started gathering staff together. And one night, in the midst of this tremendous rainstorm, and the wind blew and the horn started honking. And that wind kept blowing, and that horn kept honking, and the rain got down in the wires where the bells were and shorted them out. And there we are all running outside with the wind blowing and the rain and robes flying in the air, trying to stop the wind from blowing so the cord just doesn't work. It's not designed to work. It's designed to fool you and give you false security. And that's the way it is on this planet. When you're dealing with initiation to the sound current, I didn't forget. There are very specific sounds that you listen to. So that, no horns. There is a conch, or conch, depending on which part of the country you're from. But it doesn't sound like anything here. The sounds you hear do not sound like what you would hear here, except the heartbeat sounds like a drum. And that's as close as you get to it. The other sounds we hear are cosmic sounds that are part of the horn system. When you hear those, you don't get excited and run and look. It's like, oh, that's just the horn going off. Somebody bumped into it. And you concentrate on that sound, that is yours. And when that goes off, that's when you move. Up to that point, you observe, you watch, you let things come by you. You don't go off on tangents, nothing like that. Some of the sounds we hear in the astral realm, the causal realm, the bell sounds, will not sound like bells that ring for burglar alarms. They're not the same thing. We have to put in the time to discern the difference in these things we hear. We have to put in the time. Be'erush Be'shan.
John Rogers' closing words were Be'erush Be'shan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.